The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in part four, the Yoga of Self-Perfection, chapter two, Integral Perfection, page 619. This double character of our yoga raises it beyond the mundane ideal of perfection, while at the same time it goes, too, beyond the loftier, intenser, but much narrower religious formula. The mundane ideal regards man always as a mental, vital, and physical being, and it aims at a human perfection well within these limits, a perfection of mind, life, and body, an expansion and refinement of the intellect and knowledge, of the will and power, of ethical character, aim and conduct, of aesthetic sensibility and creativeness, of emotional balanced poise and enjoyment, of vital and physical soundness, regulated action and just efficiency. It is a wide and full aim, but not yet sufficiently full and wide, because it ignores that other greater element of our being, which the mind vaguely conceives as the spiritual element, and leaves it either undeveloped or insufficiently satisfied as merely some high occasional or added derivatory experience, the result of the action of mind in its exceptional aspects, or dependent upon the mind for its presence and persistence. It can become a high aim when it seeks to develop the loftier and the larger reaches of our mentality, but yet not sufficiently high because it does not aspire beyond mind to that of which our purest reason, our brightest mental intuition, our deepest mental sense and feeling, strongest mental will and power, or ideal aim and purpose, are only pale radiations. Its aim, besides, is limited to a terrestrial perfection of the normal human life. A yoga of integral perfection regards man as a divine spiritual being involved in mind, life, and body. It aims, therefore, at a liberation and a perfection of his divine nature. It seeks to make an inner living in the perfectly developed spiritual being his constant intrinsic living, and the spiritualized action of mind, life, and body only its outward human expression. In order that this spiritual being may not be something vague and indefinable, or else but imperfectly realized and dependent on the mental support and the mental limitations, it seeks to go beyond mind to the supramental knowledge, will, sense, feeling, intuition, dynamic initiation of vital and physical action, all that makes the native working of the spiritual being. It accepts human life, but takes account of the large supra-terrestrial action behind the earthly material living, and it joins itself to the divine being from whom the supreme origination of all these partial and lower states proceeds, so that the whole of life may become aware of its divine source, and feel in each action of knowledge, of will, of feeling, sense, and body, the divine originating impulse. It rejects nothing that is essential in the mundane aim, but enlarges it, finds and lives in its greater and its truer meaning now hidden from it, transfigures it from a limited, earthly and mortal thing to a figure of infinite, divine, and immortal values. The integral yoga meets the religious ideal at several points, but goes beyond it in the sense of greater wideness. The religious ideal looks not only beyond this earth, but away from it, to a heaven, or even beyond all heavens, to some kind of nirvana. Its ideal of perfection is limited to whatever kind of inner or outer mutation will eventually serve the turning away of the soul from the human life to the beyond. Its ordinary idea of perfection is a religio-ethical change, a drastic purification of the active and the emotional being, often with an ascetic abrogation and rejection of the vital impulses as its completest teaching of excellence, and in any case, a supra-terrestrial motive and reward, a result of a life of piety and right conduct. In so far as it admits a change of knowledge, will, aesthesis, it is in the sense of the turning of them to another object than the aims of human life, and eventually brings a rejection of all earthly objects of aesthesis, will, and knowledge. The method, whether it lays stress on personal effort or upon divine influence, on works and knowledge or upon grace, is not, like the mundane, a development, but rather a conversion. But in the end, the aim is not a conversion of our mental and physical nature, but the putting on of a pure spiritual nature and being. And since that is not possible here on earth, it looks for its consummation by a transference to another world, or a shuffling off of all cosmic existence. But the integral yoga founds itself on a conception of the spiritual being as an omnipresent existence, the fullness of which comes not essentially by transference to other worlds or a cosmic self-extinction, but by a growth out of what we now are phenomenally into the consciousness of the omnipresent reality, which we always are, in the essence of our being. It substitutes for the form of religious piety its completer spiritual seeking of a divine union. It proceeds by a personal effort to a conversion through a divine influence and possession. But this divine grace, if we may so call it, is not simply a mysterious flow or touch coming from above, but the all-pervading act of a divine presence, which we come to know within as the power of the highest self and master of our being, entering into the soul, and so possessing it that we not only feel it close to us and pressing upon our mortal nature, but live in its law, know that law, possess it as the whole power of our spiritualized nature. The conversion its action will effect is an integral conversion of our ethical being into the truth and right of the divine nature, of our intellectual into the illumination of divine knowledge, our emotional into the divine love and unity, our dynamic and volitional into a working of the divine power, our aesthetic into a plenary reception and a creative enjoyment of divine beauty, not excluding even, in the end, a divine conversion of the vital and physical being. It regards all the previous life as an involuntary and unconscious or half-conscious preparatory growing towards this change, and yoga as the voluntary and conscious effort and realization of the change, by which all the aim of human existence in all its parts is fulfilled, even while it is transfigured. Admitting the supracosmic truth and life in worlds beyond, it admits too the terrestrial as a continued term of the one existence, and a change of individual and communal life on earth as a strain of its divine meaning. To open oneself to the supracosmic divine is an essential condition of this integral perfection. To unite oneself with the universal divine is another essential condition. Here, the yoga of self-perfection coincides with the yogas of knowledge, works, and devotion. For it is impossible to change the human nature into the divine, or to make it an instrument of the divine knowledge, will, and joy of existence, unless there is a union with the Supreme Being, consciousness, and bliss, and a unity with its universal self in all things and beings. A wholly separative possession of the divine nature by the human individual as distinct from a self-withdrawn absorption in it is not possible. But this unity will not be an inmost spiritual oneness qualified, so long as the human life lasts, by a separative existence in mind, life, and body. The full perfection is a possession, through this spiritual unity, of unity too with the universal mind, the universal life, the universal form, which are the other constant terms of cosmic being. Moreover, since human life is still accepted as a self-expression of the realized divine in man, there must be an action of the entire divine nature in our life. And this brings in the need of the supramental conversion, which substitutes the native action of spiritual being for the imperfect action of the superficial nature, and spiritualizes and transfigures its mental, vital, and physical parts by the spiritual ideality. These three elements, a union with the Supreme Divine, unity with universal self, and a supramental life action from this transcendent origin and through this universality, but still with the individual as the soul channel and natural instrument, constitute the essence of the integral divine perfection of the human being. End of chapter 2, page 622.